Welcome to Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast. We are a podcast about a story, about a town. And this week we actually have a denizen of the town, or at least the adjacent town of Southside, with us. Rob Rocco, who plays Joaquin. Rob, does Joaquin have a last name?
DeSantos.
DeSantos. I did know that, actually. Yeah.
They revealed that in the season finale.
That was episode 12, the murder.
It was. Never mind.
Yeah, that's when Molly Ringwald said my name, and I think I was starstruck. Yeah.
Nice. Well, with Rob today, I'm Russ Burlingame.
I'm Craig Byrne.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on.
Welcome to my show.
Yeah, it's your show now. You can have it. Now, the Southside podcast.
Yeah, that was what I was, if I had time, and I didn't, unfortunately, this year, but that's what I was going to do for, like, an April Fool's episode, was I was just going to get some totally other co-hosts and record an entire episode from the perspective of somebody at Southside who hates all these characters.
Yeah, and then I would have been mad at you. But yeah, so why don't you tell us what the audition process was like for getting into the show?
Oh, audition process for Riverdale was really fun. I had just wrapped a feature film that's coming out, funny enough, soon, in Vancouver. I was at the hotel and just chilling, reading, and I see these group of kids in the corner, and it's Cole, KJ, and Ashley. And at the time, I had no idea who they were. They start explaining this show to me. They go on, you know, they just start filming. I think this was like September. Anyway, I'm about to leave Vancouver, and I call my agent and say, listen, I want to be in the room for this Riverdale show. It sounds amazing. Like, you know, whatever. And I knew the casting director in Canada at the time he's hard to get into. So we sent the pitch and got in the room. And when I was sitting in the room prepping, doing this thing, they were also auditioning a Peace character, and they brought in some real bikers. This guy walked by. I had my hair all slicked back in a like a man bun. This guy just walked by, looked at me, and he's like, oh, so it looks like we're going to be auditioning with a bunch of greasy ass kids or whatever. And he just like went on insulting. And I was like prepping, and I just look at this guy and I'm like, are you kidding? Like, are you kidding me right now? And I just get like furious. I'm like, already long day, it's pouring rain. Anyway, they call my name. I go and I take all the energy of this man, go into the audition, and I'm just like, hey, what's up? And just nailed it. Didn't even say thank you and walked out of the room. Next morning, I get a call that I booked the show, and it was amazing. Literally a fast turnaround, no callback, no testing. And just went into filming in the next 2 weeks. So kind of an unusual story, but what a process. From meeting these kids to then getting insulted and you know, then getting the respective Canadian casting with those guys, and then Rappaport signing off and you know, now creating this little family. And that's it. That's how we created Joaquin DeSantos off a lot of pain.
Well, so, that's interesting. Yeah. Sorry.
I was just going to joke. That dude ended up playing Mustang, so you got to kill him off.
That's interesting, though, because the first time we see Joaquin, we assume that he's dangerous and angry. So
yes, I and I mean, that's that was one of the funnest things about this, you know, not to go off the question of the audition, but Joaquin himself, you know, we see a kid and they present him, and I love the establishing scene at the drive, and he's almost like a serpent, the way you know, they had me look through my brow almost at Kevin and just remain completely still. And then, so we don't know what he's about. We don't have a backstory. He's not in these comics. And I'm like, oh, this is like the best creative character I could have on a kind of formulaic television shows, because I kind of create it, you know, with the writers as we go. So it was it was definitely a journey, still is, but yeah.
How much did they tell you about your character's arc before you started? Like, were you aware that he was involved with, like, what happened with FP and Jason Blossom's death or anything like that?
I started finding things out. Like, Joaquin was tough. I'd spoken to the writers. He was technically written in almost every episode, and they just kind of, like, kept pushing it around to make it the best arc and the best thing for the show. And I remember talking to one of the writers around episode 8, and she just saying, like, listen, you and FP, it's in your best interest, put it that way. Everything's in your best interest, but you're involved in something. And it was us, like, finding out that we had the coat. But no, we, like, episode 12, that whole monologue pretty much explaining what happened was literally the day we read this, like, the screenplay at the table reading. I found out that, you know, oh, that's Joaquin's backstory, and this is his loyalty. And, you know, we still don't know why FP put so much trust in this kid who's not even initiated in a gang, but... It's very interesting, because we kind of created as we went. We asked questions to each other and got to take creative liberty on this, you know, very tiny part, but substantial, because it's Kevin's love interest. So, that's that.
I feel like your character kind of got written out the door in such a way that you avoided all the consequences from the season when this last episode was all about everybody getting their kind of comeuppance. Do you think that gives you an opportunity to kind of step right back into next season and pick up your arc rather than picking up, you know, where everybody else is going to be essentially significantly advanced by the events of the finale?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, we still figure out, you know, what season 2 holds, and if Joaquin does come back into this town, there's that thing of how much of that footage was seen. If FP, when he destroyed the footage of Joaquin cleaning up and being an accomplice in any way, technically Joaquin, because we don't have an age on him, which is that's the only thing we don't know. We can play it young. We can play it a little. You know what I mean? So it's, if he's an accomplice and this thing goes to trial and they see this video footage, you know, Joaquin is definitely going to want to stay out of town. That's how I see it. But if it's not seen and FP hasn't ratted in any way, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. He protected me. He called me. He told me, you know, all these things. I think, yeah, I definitely jumped out of all of that mess. So, I mean, you know, if it did come back, I mean, Kevin's probably going to be a little distraught. It would allow us to come back and try to hit off a relationship, but you'd have to build so much trust. It's an interesting angle. I mean, I'll be happy to see what they do for season 2, regardless of Joaquin. But yeah, everyone's entering a very tumultuous episode 1 of season 2.
It's funny because when we talked to folks at the finale, shortly thereafter, Joaquin and Sheriff Keller emerged as people who were very much on our list of potential Jason Blossom killers.
Yes.
And the reason was because when we spoke with Ashley, we asked her, or Craig asked her reaction to having seen the script. And one of the things she said was something about how much this was going to change Kevin's relationship with his dad. And we were just like, well, that's an interesting thing to say.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that she said that.
Well,
what were you going to say, sir?
Yeah, sorry, I keep interrupting. I'm awful.
No, get in. Yeah.
When you can't see, you know, people talking. What I was going to say is, have you wondered how Sheriff Keller might respond to Kevin dating a serpent?
Yeah, I mean, I have put that in. I kind of put that in my choice. I mean, there's they edited episode 11, the dance there. I actually like it a lot because they gave Joaquin no lines, which made him very powerful just on a look. And the look said everything, which would have, you know, created this thing. But we had this scene where, you know, Kevin's like, I want you to come meet my dad and all that. And there's a time for response. And then we go back to a conversation. Then he notices his dad. So it's been edited a little bit differently. And when we were creating that choice, I'm like, this is, you know, it's, you know, between a rock and a hard place with this, because I didn't expect to fall in love, I guess, which was also something that we had explored as two characters. And then, but I knew, you know, my loyalty to being in a gang, or a club, I guess, whatever you want to call it, would, you know, I can't backstab then because then I'm dead. And so it's, the Sheriff Keller thing was a very fine line. It a little scary. That's why I think Joaquin's hesitation in episode 12 came out, because he knew that he had to inevitably break Kevin's heart, because it just wouldn't work. It's that Romeo and Juliet thing. It just wouldn't work. So that I kind of stepped away from the question a little bit, but it's tough to answer because there's been some things cut and not enough explored. But if it does go anywhere else, then it would be something interesting to explore, being like, yo, I was literally involved in this murder somehow. And, you know, I cleaned up the blood and was terrified. So, hey, how you doing, Sheriff Keller? How you doing, Daddy Keller? You know, like,
but well, and that's actually a thing that we've talked about quite a bit. I spoke with Marisol last week about how at various times there were like big chunks of kind of character stuff between her and Veronica and Archie and Val and you and Kevin that ended up on the floor just because, you know, 13 episodes, you don't end up with a lot of time.
Exactly.
It's interesting to hear you say that you really liked the way that they cut 11 down for you. Was there a time in the season where it was really frustrating to go, oh man, we lost something really good?
No, I mean, I had heard stuff, you know, my audition piece was an interesting angle because it was the relationship building of Joaquin and Kevin. So it was like a pin for episode 6 or something. I actually have no idea, but that's my side said, you know, something like that. And it was more of them being like, you know, kind of kissing in the high school and being like, yo, I want to take you to Pops tonight. Like, either you want to do it or you don't, you know, it was more of a thing. And so from a personal standpoint, I think it would have been cool to see maybe one element of 2 minutes of like a developed relationship somewhere between episode 4 and 8, but I really am extremely happy with how they cut it. My big arc I knew was going to be in episode 12, and Rob, our director, being an editor, we worked on getting it done so it would edit well. And but I mean, yeah, Joaquin's big episodes were, you know, 4, 8, and 12. Everything in between was just kind of establishment to be like, what is he doing? So it is a tiny part, and it was cut down. But no, nothing really frustrating. They're just, you know, there's things that they left out, and I think it's probably for the better of the show than making it about me as the actor being like, oh wait, when we were at the bus scene, and you know, Joaquin says, wait, I didn't mean to fall in love with you. You know what I mean? Like, there's more stuff, mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, in there that I'm like, you know what? I'm happy we didn't do that. I'm happy we didn't push in close on tears and we just went straight to this goodbye. And, you know, like, it just made sense. I really feel like they did. Because it, to be honest, it would have kind of taken away from the story a little bit. Although Kevin got a little snubbed with his relationship development, it really does come down to who killed Jason Blossom in 13 episodes at, you know, 42 minutes long or whatever they are. So it,
with about 140 characters.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, season 1 tested so many recurring characters, going from Miss Grundy to, you know, various, you know, various day players, that I think it was really, I find the writing, I found that they did a great job for all of this thing. They, you know, this would have been easy in a first season 22 episode thing to be like, okay, Joaquin can have 5 episodes, the same thing, or 6, whatever it is, but we can make the scenes longer and push this in. You can develop more. In 13 episodes, they had to go straight to the cut of like, we're going to kill this kid and why. And I think they did a great job. So, yeah.
Well, Casey's going to be a series regular for next year, which hopefully will increase the chances of Joaquin coming back. Can you talk about what it was like to work with Casey?
Casey's a gem. He, I first met him, obviously, for the table read of episode 4. He's a sweetheart, like, on and off set. Like, he's honestly just a sweetheart. He's very dedicated and disciplined to his work. He's got that charisma of Kevin Keller as a human. So like all those funny, like joking things, I think he kind of raises his spirits, you know, when we're sitting on those long days, you know, waiting in a tent or in a trailer or something in our chairs, you know, he'll pull up a funny tweet and get our attention going. You know what I mean? Like he's just, he's like that. And when it came to our scenes that were very, you know, like, you know, everyone asks, what's it like kissing a man or this? And it's like, well, first off, we're actors. We're, you know, and second, it doesn't matter. We just took it so seriously in the moment. And I think it was such a beautiful thing. Like, I mean, there was a moment in the dance scene, like, for instance, where me and him were dancing and they're pushing up a close-up on us. And like, I swear to God, we just had this moment of two people and I'm like, oh, I love this kid. You know, let's put the show away for a sec. This is a great kid. I'm so happy I get to work with him as a scene partner. Cause you know, I've had various movies and things where I'm like, I don't really like who I'm working with. And you gotta use whatever, you know, whatever your tools are. I was very lucky to have Casey to work with. And especially in such an interesting character choice, you know what I mean? Like this badass biker kid with this preppy, you know, gay best friend thing that just make this relationship work. And you wouldn't think that they do work, and they did. And so yeah, Casey, it's honestly a privilege to work with someone that talented. I'm excited for his future.
Do you think that your, like, as an actor, that your take on that evolved over the course of the season? Because I know a lot of the times when you get a straight guy playing a character who's not straight, like, you'll listen to them and their answers in interviews are almost a little cringe-inducing, where it's like, yes, we know, you don't have to be quite so careful to remind us you're straight.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I actually love playing the mystery card. So, like, I get so many tweets and this, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that really matters. I mean, when I was I studied in New York under James Franco, and he was the king of that. And where everyone's like, is he, what is he? And it's like, he's an actor. He's just doing his job. That's it. Like, it's it. And, you know, you divert things. And I think the only thing about it is with this social media craze, you get some pretty interesting inboxes. and that comes from both sides, guys or girls. I don't really care about laying that in. It was just that thing as an actor of being like, I don't identify as this, but how do I make it real to myself? And you find the truth in that. And you know, I've mentioned this in other outlets, but like, finding the love in the scene is always the important thing. And that's just in life, finding the love in anything. And I know that sounds cheesy and artsy of me, but it's how I kind of base what I do. It's like, if we need to find a moment, I don't want it to look like a straight guy playing gay, because then all those people out there that are watching, gay, straight, or whatever, are going to look at that and be like, well, that didn't really do anything. So, it gets interesting with, you know, some people name bashing and stuff like that. But if I don't really care, I signed up for a pretty crazy job and I get to do everything, and I won't really say no to anything. So this is exciting, and I don't care what people call me. because there's, for as many haters as there are, there's two people out there that are like, hey, thanks for changing. So
anyway. There's been a lot of talk about how well this cast gets along, and I had read that you co-own a drum company. Is that true?
I do, yeah, me and my father.
Did you get to perform any music at the rap party with anybody?
You know what? I didn't. I really wish I would have. They pretty much had a house band and then guests like guitarists like KJ would come up and then Lachlan came up and stuff like that. But they didn't really swap the drummer out. And I was like, oh man, I want to go up. But I mean, scheduling in this gets extremely difficult between us all doing different things and, you know, press here and this. But me and KJ probably tried to get together for the past 4 months to do like a little jam video. That kid's incredible. And I don't know, maybe we can get some of the singers on the show to come in. Like Haley's an incredible musician. I would love to jam with her. You know what I mean? Like to do spots with these people. That's my thing. I'm a musician first and actor second. An actor kind of blew me up in this entertainment industry. But we all do get along very well, but I think, you know, the ones that speak music, we just have this different understanding. And that's why it's been interesting, really interesting. And getting back to Casey, even, like, Casey's an incredible singer. Like, he's an incredible singer. This guy would just sing on set. You'd hear him in his trailer. And I'm like, man, I want to jam with these kids. But we're, you know, we're busy working 12-hour days and overnights. And it's like, okay, we'll get our time. But, yeah.
Nice.
Well, I think we covered most of the big Riverdale questions we wanted to cover. You were talking about you've got a feature that's coming out soon. What else are you working on, and what else have you got coming up that people can keep their eye out for you, you know, either just because they dig you, or if you don't end up coming back, or coming back right away in season two and people want to catch up?
I have a feature film called Hammer of the Gods, coming out, which is, that's a really interesting movie. That's what I shot in Vancouver there, about this journey of musicians, kind of on this canoe trip through this water. I can't wait for like an actual press release to talk about it, but it's, that's going to be an interesting feature. And then, I just signed on to another little like indie horror film. And then from there, I'm always working. I just got into Cannes with a short film. You know, there's tons of things coming up, and we just gotta play it by ear. But, yeah, from that, hopefully we'll see some screen time in season two. And if not, yeah, we'll see me on the big screen. So we'll go from there.
And can you tell people where they can find you on Twitter, et cetera?
Yes. Every social media outlet I have is my name, just at @RobRacco, Rob Rocco. And if you want to join the hashtag of my fan club, it would be Rocco's Tacos, because that is the funniest thing going on Twitter right now. So, yeah, that's where you find me. And that's that. But thank you guys. Thank you so much for this. This has been amazing. It's great to talk about Joaquin and his journey with Kevin, and just talk about the personalities between the actors and how we got there. And I'm glad you guys dig it.
One thing that we've really kind of taken to heart after having met the cast a couple of times is that, you know, early on when I went to Comic-Con and talked to Ashley, she essentially said, look, this isn't the Archie show, you know, that this is actually about Riverdale. And of course that's in the introduction to every episode, mm-hmm. that this is a story about a town. But that's one of the things that we've really taken to heart talking to folks, is that we can sit and talk to Haley or you or somebody who had, you know, a total of 40 minutes of screen time all season long for a half an hour. And there's like, everybody involved really digs the show and is passionate about it, and everybody has interesting things to say. So it's been really fun, kind of both as reporters and as fans of the show, to just kind of catch up with people and be like, oh wow, we know that we can talk to the guy who plays Joaquin, and it'll be just as interesting an interview as if we're talking to KJ.
Oh, that's awesome. That's first off, that's thank you, because that just makes me feel humble that I got to be a part of such a an amazing outlet as a show, instead of something that was so focused on people, in particular, like a group of people. Being a part of that town is a really eerie thing. And having a show that allowed us to explore every little nook and cranny, and I think that's what season two is going to really, really explore. So thank you guys for allowing me to talk about my little journey on the south side, on the opposite side of the tracks. So, yeah.
Well, we're really hopeful to see you in season two, because I think there are a lot more stories to tell with Joaquin. I think we'll all agree on that.
Yeah, so. there's some fan theories going around that are pretty interesting. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah.
As long as he's not the one that shot Fred, or, you know, we're done. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm pretty sure that guy was about 50 pounds heavier than Rob and White, so I think we're safe.
Yeah, he was wearing a fat suit. No, I'm just kidding.
he went to San Junipero and ate a ton and then came back. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Cool. Well, right, thank you so again much for joining us.
Guys, much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Russ?
I was just going to say, Craig, why don't you do the social media wrap up for yourself, and then I can do the outro.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter. My Riverdale posts are at Riverdale TV. Also, you can find me on ksitetv.com, all kinds of places. So, you know, follow, visit. And of course, you know, the ArchieDigestPodcast.com is where you can find this show. Subscribe on iTunes, leave us reviews, be nice, etc. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks again, Rob, for coming on. So,
thank you guys so much. I can't wait to share this.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, ciao, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
And I'm Russ Burlingame. You can find me on Twitter at Russ Burlingame, RussBurlingame. That's really long, and I'm not going to repeat it. So if you didn't get that, ECV_podcast for the Emerald City Video Podcast. That's where I talk about movies with people who used to work at a video store with me 15 years ago. That show is going to be doing a Summer of Riverdale, where every week we look at a classic teen movie paired with one of the movies that a Riverdale episode was named after. So if you're a Riverdale fan, this gives me an opportunity to cross the two podcasts over a little bit. Check that out at emeraldcityvideo.podbean.com. As Craig mentioned, you can find us at archiedigestpodcast.com or archiedigest.podbean.com, and subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Podbean, rate and review. And if you leave comments on the Podbean account, we pretty much always respond. Same with our Facebook account, which is Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast. We are a podcast about a story about a town, and we'll be back next week. Everything's Archie. Veronica too, Reggie's here. Hey Jughead, where are you? Come on, let's go with the Archie Show.